we're at Christmas time, Christmas season, and wow, Pastor, this is a great idea, giving out those Christmas tracts all over the place, because it tells people something's already been arranged for them. Already been arranged. When you came to realize you needed it, it was right there for you. And the Lord provided so that we could miss out on the hot place and go to something real beautiful down the way. And have what we need while we're here. Have what we need while we're here. A life that is real and good and right and beautiful is not found in alcohol or drugs or all kinds of crazy, illicit, ungodly things. That's not where it is. Now, I'm not smart enough, and I won't speak for you, but you're probably not either, to figure all that out from myself. But God figured it out for us ahead of time. So, I drive through these fields, and I'm reminded when the boys and I stopped yesterday on the way up to eat, we didn't have to wonder about it. Somebody had already grown the stuff. And I pulled on the lot here this morning. I didn't have to worry about how I'm going to do church. Things already in place. And by the way, I like what you've done too. It looks nice. And the day when I came to see that I was a sinner headed for hell, the Lord had already provided for me. Already provided. Now, with all that in view, I want to talk to you a little bit this morning, and this will not be a typical Bible study, but it's going to bounce just a little bit from spot to spot. I want to give you 7 Bible reasons why I'm still excited. 7 Bible reasons why I'm still excited. Still excited about what I just told you about. Still excited because I'm saved, because I'm heaven bound, because I get to serve the Lord. Still excited. 7 Bible reasons. The first Bible reason is found in the very first verse of the Bible. Any Hebrew scholars in here? Well, very first verse of the Bible. Bereshith bara Elohim, Hashamayim wa ha'aretz. It's one of the Hebrew passages I've got memorized. One of a few. But it's a beautiful passage, whether you read it in Hebrew or whether you read it in English. But in English it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, whether you say it in English or in something else, that is a mouthful. That tells me that human life did not evolve from the creek or from the swamp or from some cosmic explosion. Oh, no. There is a great eternal God who created the heavens and the earth. Everything in our universe operates in very orderly fashion. You do not get order by chance. If things just evolve and develop, it breaks down. It doesn't build up. So how do we get order? How do we get an orderly functioning universe? The earth revolves on its axis every 24 hours. That's the reason the sun comes up predictably and the sun goes down predictably. How is it, as it's revolving, it's also making its orbit around the sun? How is it that winter shows up and summer shows up on schedule? All of those things, orderly, predictable. And all of that because God, who is God, created on a day, not in geological ages, but on a day. The Bible says the evening and the morning were the first day. Evening and morning were the second day, etc. So on a day, God created the heavens, huge, enormous, mind-boggling. Get a telescope. Just mind-boggling. And the earth. So, Bible reason number one, why I'm still excited. Creation and the Creator. It lights up the candle in my life. Now, number two, it's about to be Christmas, isn't it? Well, Isaiah 7:14 is another reason why that I'm still excited. You may recall that passage, Isaiah 7:14, says, "Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign." Now understand, I left the hotel, pulled out of the lot, and I knew where I was headed, but I saw the sign. It said 59 South. Now, when we pulled in there last night, Siri, bless her heart, I'd been there to that hotel before, but I'd forgotten exactly whether it was on the freeway or off the freeway ways. And when we pulled off the freeway, Siri said 59 North, 3 miles. And we went 59 North about 200 yards, and she said, "Turn right on Barrett Road." Well, it was so quick, and it was already dark, and so I didn't see Barrett, so we went to the next one. And she took us out here about a mile and over here about a mile and down here. I told the boys, I said, "We're going right straight back to 59. Now, if the signs mess you up, they mess you up. And eventually she caught up and took us to the hotel, but we did a little circuitous route to get there. This passage says, "The Lord himself shall give you a sign." Well, okay, what does the signpost tell us? Well, here, 700 years before Bethlehem, he says, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." God with us. Again, we got a mouthful here. Birth like no other birth before, no other birth since. Nothing like this. So what's the big deal with this birth? It is a signpost. God, who created the heavens and the earth, gives us some signposts along the way that says, "Look at this. Turn here. Don't turn there." He gives us a sign. The sign is, a virgin shall birth a child, and not just a child, but a man-child. The child will be a son. And he says, and by the way, that man-child, you can go ahead and call him God with us, because he is not just man, but he is God being birthed in human flesh. Emmanuel. So, Bible reason number two, why I'm still excited. All right, number three. Let's look at the passage we look at a lot here at Christmas time, Luke chapter 2. Verse 10 says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." City of David, that's Bethlehem. And the good tidings, the good news, is news that produces great joy, and it's available to everybody, to all people. I'm glad about that. I'm real glad about that. Here's a guy driving a, let's just say he's driving a fancy BMW or a Mercedes. I mean, no. Let me back up. That guy's not driving junk like that. He's driving a Rolls Royce. But you know, he can't ride that Rolls into heaven. So here he is driving his Rolls. What does he need? He needs a ticket that'll get him from earth to heaven. So he needs it. Here's another guy. The guy in the Rolls pulls up at a stoplight and he stops. And right here at the stoplight, there's a guy carrying a sign that says, hungry, unemployed, homeless, please help. And, of course, it'll say Merry Christmas and God bless you, too. Now, I'm not making light of it. I'm just saying, you got a guy standing right there. The guy in the Rolls has got everything. The guy standing there begging has nothing. But they're on equal ground. They both have the same basic need. And both of them can get in the same identical way. The guy with the big bankroll, he's no closer to heaven than the guy who doesn't have a dime to his name. In fact, he may not be as close because he may be thinking he can. But the good news here, and listen, I'm telling you, it's exciting to me to be able to report, not only in Jacksonville, but everywhere else that I go, I can report that the good news is what Christ did when he came at Bethlehem and then later died on the cross and rose from the grave. All that he did is for, right here, it's in the verse, it shall be to all people. Nobody need fret or worry whether it's for them or not. It is. Whether you got or whether you don't got, whether you have or don't have, doesn't matter. What you need is you need a Savior. And so I'm excited about that. All right. Bible reason number four. Why I'm still excited. Oh, let's see. Where shall I go? Oh, think about John 3:16. See, we got to get a grip on this. When I tell you, oh, good news. Man, something's going to bring great joy to your life and it's available to everybody. There's been a Savior born. I mean, I'm telling you, people will argue with that. I've had people say to me, you don't know how bad I've been. You don't know what a terrible character I am. Some of the mail that I get from prisons. Break your heart. Some of those guys, they're sitting in there, I mean, they're rotting away for as long as they live. I mean, lifers. They know they don't have to hedge anymore. They can tell you. And believe me, a lot of them do tell me about what they did and how terrible they've been. And some of them they're eaten up with anxiety, they're eaten up with fear, they're eaten up with guilt. And I get a lot of mail like that. Because we get the sword into so many prisons. We passed the Wabash Correctional Center over here yesterday afternoon. I said to the boys, I said, hey guys, I said, look up, I got a bunch of friends in this area. I got all kinds of friends over there. I've never met them, but I hear from them. I mean, from that facility, that's one of the ones that I hear from a good bit. And we got over 2 million people incarcerated in this country, and a lot of them are. And even people out here walking around. I mean, they're eaten up with guilt. So, okay, so there's been a Savior provided. Big deal. No, he's not going to want me. John 3:16. For God. Who's he? Oh, 1:1 of Genesis. Same God who made all of this stuff. Same God. 3:16 says, for God so... He did what? He so loved the world. I mean, think of it. It's almost It's almost beyond our comprehension. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's the one born of the virgin. That's the one birthed in Bethlehem. He so loved the world that he gave his only son, begotten son, that whosoever, that means whoever's going to sit on this front pew this morning, and the second pew, and the third pew, and the fourth pew, all the way back, and even all the folks out here who are not coming today, whosoever, any one of them, any or all of them, whosoever believes in him, believes that, that means we acknowledge it so deeply that we're willing to trust him. Not just say, well, yeah, okay, he did it. No, no, no. So much so that you say, hey, I'm going to risk it all right there. Believe in him. What's the result of that? Well, then you shall not perish but have everlasting life. That means you're going to miss hell. You're going to go to heaven. So, yeah, I read stuff like this, and I'm telling you, it excites me. It does. It excites me for me, but it excites me for you as well, because it is there for all of us. Bible fact number 5, why I'm still excited. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So the Lord who saves me lines me up to serve him. And then I remember he's not getting a whole lot when he gets me. He's so big and I'm so little. And first thing you know, I'm hiding off in a corner somewhere, sucking my thumb and whimpering. And I'm saying, who, me? I can't do anything. And the Lord said, tell you what, I'm going to energize you with a new anointing type power. I'm going to fill you and infuse you with something that will enable you to serve me like you ought to. Now, I've been at this a while, and very frankly, there is a difference. You try to do and just say, man, I'm going to do what I can do. You do that, that's great. But I'm going to ask you, keep asking God to fill you. Keep asking God to give you what he can give you. He will enable you beyond your enablement. He'll enable you beyond your ability. I mean, I hear folks sing sometimes, and they may not be the greatest vocalist I ever heard, but when they sit down, every person in the building has been blessed. What's the difference? That touch that God gives. Now, I'm excited because of that. Bible reason number 6, why I'm still excited. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Ooh, look at this. 3:16 of 2 Timothy. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All scripture. Everything I've noted and quoted to you already and all of the rest of it is given by inspiration of God. That word inspiration simply means that God breathed it out. It came out of God's mouth. So if God breathed it out, it's coming out of his mouth, what have we got? We got the Word of God. And every scripture, all of these scriptures, are given to us in that way from God, and they are profitable. Now, I like for things to show a profit. Grocery store, I hope they make a profit. I don't want to make it all off of me, but I hope they can make a profit. Profit's a good thing. My dad's only brother lives down in West Kentucky, And he, in fact, he's only 3 years older than me, so he's been more kind of like a brother age-wise than he ever was an uncle. In fact, I never called him uncle in my life. when he and his wife were first married, they were just like 20 years old. he was milking cows. That was what he was doing for a living. He had I don't know how many cows, but a few, and he was milking them. And I said to him one day, I said, "Hey, how's this working out?" I was about, 17 or something. He was about 20. And he said, "Well," he said, "I tell you how it is." He said, I milk the cows, sell the milk, buy the feed to feed the cows so I can milk the cows to have the money to buy the feed to feed the cows so I can. Some of you guys who farm may have had a year or two like that. I hope it's not regular. But Wallace told me that, and I laughed about it, and, you know, and still I've thought about it many times since. I mean, he wasn't doing too well with that. It's what he was telling me. I think he was managing to eat, but he wasn't getting ahead. And sometimes, you know, we look at things and we say, "Well, what's this all about? What good's this going to do for me?" What God's telling us here is his word will profit us. It will profit us. It will teach us. Notice what he says, for doctrine. That's what he's going to teach us. He will teach us how to do things. Many of you are married. I bet you need help with that. In fact, if you don't think you need help, come see me, because first thing I'm going to tell you is you need help. Girls, we guys do not understand you. And furthermore, it works the other way. You don't understand. We've just got obstacles. Well, what are we going to do? The Lord can help us with that. He can profit us. Where is it? He can make home work for us. He really can. If you have children, the prophet, he can help you to be make that profitable in them. So on and so forth. He will teach us how. Doctrine, that comes in the Bible. For reproof. He'll tell us what's right and what's wrong. And for correction. We all need to be corrected sometimes. And for instruction in righteousness. All of this comes out of the Bible. Now, I'll tell you, Brother Ross, I'd be a little bit antsy about being here today and knowing that I had to get up here three times if I had to write all my material. That would concern me. Because, very frankly, I don't think I have all that much to tell you. And I've been coming here enough. You all know what I do when I'm here, and we all know what Brother Ross does every time he gets up. What do? We open the Bible. We're giving you what's in the Bible. Now, that's what's going to profit you. You say, "Well, I don't understand it all." It's going to help you anyway. Just because you don't understand something doesn't mean it won't help you. All right? So, I'm excited because of the Bible. Bible reason number 7. I did say 7 reasons, didn't I? Bible reason number 7. Look at the very last chapter of the Bible. Revelation 22. Verse 17. 22:17 of Revelation. And the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And let him that heareth say, "Come." And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Now, from the time we started in Genesis 1:1, and we hopscotched through with a few verses, but there are There are many, many, many hundreds of verses, 1,189 chapters in all of the Bible. We get down to the last little bit here, and among the very last words in the Bible, the Lord said, now, he says, just remember, the Holy Spirit of God is drawing, he's wooing, he's saying, come on, guys, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. You've heard all this, you know the facts. Come to Christ. Let him do for you. I mean, he's saying, come. He says, not only that, but the bride, talking about the people of God, talking about the church. He says, that's what that crowd's going to be saying. And by the way, we make a big to-do about soul-winning churches. We make a big to-do about being an evangelistic church. We make a big to-do about getting the gospel out all of the time. Well, what's the deal with that? We're doing what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be telling people, come on, come on, come on, come on. God put it right here in the end of the Bible. Last things. And he says, and let him that heareth. So if you hear it, you listen to it, you hear it, you understand it, you believe it, what are you supposed to be saying? You're supposed to be saying, come on, guys, come on, come on. You get saved, you got family members, you've heard it, you need to be saying to them, come on. And he said, and let him that is athirst come. There's something down in your soul, and it's like, man, none of the rest of this stuff satisfies. But you found out what does. And then he says so clearly, and whosoever will, so does that mean Hoosiers can be saved? I'm looking close, but I think the Indiana crowd's included, folks. I mean I'm looking real close at it. Whosoever will, let him drink, let him take the water of life, and let him take it freely. Now, that's seven Bible reasons, isn't it? Now, let me give you a bonus. Let me give you one more. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, but thanks be to God. God? Yeah, same God of John 3:16 that so loved the world. Same God of Genesis 1:1 that created everything. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Despite alcoholism, drug addiction, broken marriages, terms in the penitentiary, I mean, you name it. All of this losing stuff, all of this stuff that breaks people down, despite all of that, the Lord enables us to have victory. While I was still pastor in Maryland, in fact, somewhere in the middle of my 15 years there, we reached a guy. He was kind of, I guess he was about 6'1", broad-shouldered guy, big barrel-chested guy. First name was David. David got saved. And one of the first things he told me was, he said, and he was about 40, I'm guessing maybe 45 at the time, and one of the first things he told me, he said, Pastor, he said, I've spent 15 years in prison. And so we worked with him and helped him, and David got real productive. And one day he said to me, he said, Pastor, he said, you know, and this hadn't been but maybe a year from the time he got saved. He said, Pastor, he said, I know some of our guys go down here to the local jail once a week. He said, is it possible for me to go? And I said, well, sure, David. You want to go with the guys? Go along. Well, long story short, next thing you know, David is preaching that service in the jail. And after I came to the Sword, and Dr. Belcher, who's been pastor there all these years, he's one of my dearest friends, been so good to me. In fact, I was just there a few weeks ago, the 30th time in 22 years that he's had me back there to preach. 30 times in 22 years. And I don't know, it'd probably been 5 or 8 years, something like that, after I came to the Sword. I was back there for something. And David came up to me right now. He came up to me and shook my hand, pulled me up close. And he said to me, he said, "Well, Pastor," he said, "you remember when I came here and you remember how I got started out in the jail?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Well," and I don't remember how many years he told me he'd been doing it. It was something like maybe 10 or something. I can't remember now, something like that. He said, "Well, we've had over 300 people saved at that jail." Now that's the victory. No matter how down you were, how wrong you were, the Lord Jesus is able to make victories out of the losers. The next verse says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." So, it's about to be Christmas time. I'm going to sing the great carols. Oh, I'm going to sing them with delight. I'm sure you're aware some of the greatest music ever penned is the Christmas music. Absolutely great stuff. And I'm going to sing it. And I'm going to give away gospel tracts. In fact, what'd you say, 25 after? Yeah, I got time to tell you this. A week ago yesterday, I have a little Christmas track that I put together called "The Real Story of Christmas." I had a couple of them in my pocket, and this was a week ago yesterday. I flew to Baltimore to preach for Lou Rossi at Granite Baptist. I got there midday on Saturday, and he and I went to lunch. And he pulled a stunt on me. We sat down at the table. I'd never had anybody do this before, never had. But we sat down at the table. The lady came. She was, I'm guessing, about 40 years old to wait on us. And she was giving her a little opening spiel. And Brother Rossi looked at her and he said, "And what's your name?" And she said, "Linda." He said, "Linda," he said, "this is Dr. Shelton Smith, and he is an expert on helping people get ready for heaven." Now, that kind of threw me a little bit of a curve because I never thought of myself as an expert on anything. But she was stone-faced. But she turned and looked at me, and when she did, I smiled at her and I went, He labeled me, and I just owned up to it. I said, yeah. But while I was looking at her and kind of giving her that little nod, I reached in my pocket and I pulled out one of those, and that's not what I got here now, but I had the real story of Christmas. I said, "Linda," I said, "I've got a little piece here I put together called The Real Story of Christmas." I said, "Why don't you take it and look at it?" And I said, "If you'd like to talk about it while we're here, I'd be glad to talk to you." She's still just stone-faced, but she took it. She walked away. She took our order then a little bit, brought our food. We ate, and she came back with a check, and when she laid it down, she didn't look at Lou, but she looked right at me, and she said, "I can talk to you now." Melted me. She said, "I can talk to you now." And I said, "Would you like to sit down here?" I said, "You got time to sit down?" She said, "Yeah, I can." This was in a Ruby Tuesday restaurant, by the way. Lou was sitting across. He just sat there, like he should. "Shut up, Brother Rossi." No, he set me up. He was playing his role exactly right. She sat down beside me, and I have another little piece that we call our soul winning card that John Hamlin and I wrote. It's just a little card you can take, and I mean it's easy to wear. I've led other people to Christ using it, and I used that, walked her through it. She bowed her head, trusted Christ right there in the restaurant. Now all the things I'm saying to you here this morning, listen, we got every reason to be excited. We've got every reason to be excited. And Pastor, I like your idea here. I may wave that flag a little bit, hopefully encourage some others to do something like that. But you grab a handful of those and take them out the next couple of weeks and be warm with people. Be warm with people when you do it. And you may have a lady like Linda who will say, okay, I can talk to you about that. You might just get some folks in. All right, thank you, Father, for your blessing, and thank you for giving us the kind of stuff that does excite us. We're grateful for it. So hear our prayer and smile upon us with blessing all the day, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.